and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 14. Last time the Lord had called Matthew to be his disciple, and Matthew followed. He threw the Lord a great feast. And then the Pharisees are grousing about the Lord Jesus being there with Matthew and his friends, publicans and sinners, tax collectors and sinners, eating with them. The Lord Jesus says, go and learn what that meaneth. The physician came to help the sick, not those that are well. You Pharisees, you think you're well. You don't need me. But these, they know they're sinners. They know they need help. And I've come indeed to heal them. Go learn what it means. The Lord will have mercy and not sacrifice. Sacrifice is empty if it's offered without repentance and faith in the Lord. Sacrifice will not make any person acceptable before the Lord. You know, there's no doubt thousands or more, tens of thousands of people across our land that think that what they give to a quote unquote church makes them accepted by God. Even giving of themselves for the work of a quote unquote ministry makes them accepted before God. Listen, what we give means nothing. It has no bearing. What we need, what you and I need as sinners, is the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Repentance of our sins before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this part of the passage here in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse number 14, there's a question of John the Baptist's disciples. They come unto the Lord Jesus, and of course, John is pointing them to follow the Lord Jesus. He knows this and understands his calling in that. He tells in John chapter 3, he must increase, but I, John the Baptist speaking, must decrease. And so he's pointing his disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him. And so it says here, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft or often, but thy disciples fast not? So we fast a lot. We fast often, but your disciples, they don't ever fast. What's that all about? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So the Lord Jesus answers this with an analogy, a picture of things that we can understand. At a wedding, and of course, you know, I'm talking about a wedding where it's a wedding that's not under duress. There's not a situation where the couple has to get married. And of course, that used to be a thing when people had to get married. Anymore, it's kind of the way of the Lord has been turned upside down. People get together, couples get together, are intimate, have children, and then 10 years later decide to get married. And I'm glad that they marry, but the order, it's not that. That's not the order given by the Lord. A man and a woman are to marry and then have children, and then have that intimacy reserved for marriage. It's the design of God. It's His gift from the other side of from the garden and from before sin. But nevertheless, at a wedding where everything's just a-okay and things are in the right order, it's a happy time. I mean, for the most part, you see everybody smiling. They're rejoicing. They're glad to come. Some people, the gals will cry because it's touching and it's pretty and it's nice and it's sentimental. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a merriment that is made and such as that. And a wedding that's not, again, not under distress or duress is a blessed, wonderful time. And so the Lord gives us that picture. He said, is there any mourning going on at a wedding? The context of the Lord and the culture that the Lord was in and the culture from which the scriptures come to us is that of the Jewish culture. In our culture, we put a lot of emphasis on the bride. In their culture, a lot of emphasis is put on the groom. Okay. And so that's the reference here. And so he says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn? The bride chamber. Okay. So that would be the bride and her attendants. They're all happy. They're helping the bride. The bride is ready to be married to her man. And there's just rejoicing in that. They're happy. They're happy for her. The bridesmaids are, and the attendants and the family in that. She is happy to be being married. And there's rejoicing in that. Okay. It says here, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? And so here in their culture, in the Jewish culture, the emphasis is put more on the groom than it is the bride. And the reason for that is he's the head of the family. Woman was made as a helpmeet for Adam. Okay. And that's just what the Lord's design is. If you got a quarrel with that, you need to take it up with the Lord. Doesn't mean that the bride is less. But every gender has their place and order that the Lord has given, his authority. And so if the bridegroom is at hand, and the groom is at hand and the bride is getting herself ready, everybody's happy. There's no need for any mourning. There's no need for any crying, in sorrow or anything like that. It's a joyous time and occasion. Okay. But the days will come, it says in verse 15, when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So the Lord's given us a picture here of a Jewish wedding around in the first century there of this time that we're in. And he says, hey, While the marriage preparations and the time, we're at the day and all that, and everybody's present, the groom is there, the bride is there, she's making herself ready, everybody's happy. But you know what? You can't have a wedding if you don't have a groom. He says, right now, the groom is with the bride. The groom is with the bride. And I tell you what, you might want to sit down and think about that. The Lord has told us in this, John's disciples said, why don't your disciples fast, but we're fasting all the time? Jesus says, the groom's here. The groom is here. And understand, the groom was with who? With everybody saved? No. John the Baptist's disciples were saved. But they're still fasting. Interesting distinction. See, there are those that believe that the family of God is the church of God, but they're wrong. The scripture knows nothing of that. The scripture speaks of the church in the organizational or the institutional sense, like we would speak about the automobile. Typically, automobiles have four wheels. Now, there's not one big automobile when I say that way, but we know the individual automobiles that you own and that I own and that others own typically have four wheels. Some have more than four wheels. Some have less than four wheels. But typically the automobile, that's the institutional reference, has four wheels. Now, there's not one big automobile, is there? But there's all these individual automobiles that we can take and put our hands on. So it is with the church. The family of the Lord are all those that are saved, and what is mistaken by many to be the Lord's church. No, that is the Lord's family. He is the father of his children. If you are saved, you are a member of his family. But then there is his church. Just how we see this distinction here. John's disciples saying, hey, we're fasting all the time. Does that mean they're not saved? Nope. It doesn't mean they're not saved. They are saved, but they don't have the Lord Jesus with them. Jesus says, my disciples are not fasting because the bridegroom is here. See, the Lord's church is local. It's visible. It's the only way that it exists. And the Lord Jesus is physically there with them, the apostles, and all the disciples at this time are with the Lord, And that it is that is his church, his local church there, his first church there in Judea. There are others that have saved. Simeon and Anna were saved, but they're not a member of the Lord's church. Zechariah and Elizabeth were saved, but they're not a member of the Lord's church. John the Baptist is indeed saved from before he was born, but he's not a member of the Lord's church. They're all in his family, but not in his church. Jesus says, while the groom is at hand, there's no need for fasting. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them. The bridegroom will be taken from the bride, okay, and then shall they fast. The Lord's talking about his ascension. The Lord's talking about how it is yet today. As his churches scattered all over the earth are waiting for the physical return of the Lord Jesus to take us out of here. And understand, we get a bad rap as Baptists in that folks tell on us that we claim that you've got to be a member of one of the Lord's churches for you to be saved. That is not true. John the Baptist was not in the Lord's church, and he was saved. His mom and daddy were both saved, and others there, as I mentioned, Simeon and Anna and so on, were members of the Lord's church. We're not members of the Lord's church, and we're saved. John the Baptist, not a member of the Lord's church, but was saved. We don't hold to that. The Scripture knows nothing of that, that you got to be a member of his church to be saved. Now, there are those out there that proclaim that, but not Baptists. Where we make the distinction is that anybody that has repented of their sins and believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ has been saved by him is saved. But then the Lord calls his children to service, worship, and obedience in his churches, and being a membership of the church is not the same as being in his family. All those that are saved are a member of his family, but not all of his family are a member of one of his churches. Here's what he says. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh up from the garment, and the rent is made worse. So you got a rent, you don't take a new piece of fabric and sew in there. You want one kind of like the garment that you're repairing. Otherwise, you make the tear even worse to look at. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Why? Because in the fermentation process, gas is going to be made. He says, why? Else the bottles will break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Why? Because the new bottles are flexible. They're flexible. They're suitable for that. So, why were they not fasting, Jesus' disciples? Because the Lord Jesus was at hand. That's how special he is. That's how blessed he is. And we look forward to the day that we will be in his presence. John's disciples, well, the Lord Jesus was there, but they were not a part of his group. They were a part of John's following and John's disciples. And had they come and joined the Lord's church, then they could have been a part of that fellowship. But they were not. They were in the family of the Lord. But his disciples, Jesus' disciples that were near him there in his assembly, were members of his church. They need not fast because the groom was at hand. Well, I see our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.